Test, test, 1, 2, 3. Hello, Spirit Life folk. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of y'all are excited about these meetings? Me too. Amen. And how many know the Holy Ghost has got some things for us this week? Amen. My wife sends her greetings. We've been in quite a few meetings lately, and we've been, I don't know how long it's been. It's been a while. And so we all flew here this evening, but she's at the house resting, and she said, tell everybody I'll see them in the morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we'll be geared up and ready to go. Amen. But we're ready to hear some stuff tonight, right?
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray, and what we're going to do tonight is I'm very clear on, I know the theme is advancement. And in that, a few months ago, the Lord gave me some clarity about my job description till the end of the year. And He said, I need you to teach some things. Well, we better pray, and then we'll explain. Amen. All right. Father, this evening, we love and thank you and praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to gather around the Word of God. We thank you, Father God, that you know, I know, like myself, I was taught, you know, we can learn from calamity and destruction, and anyone should be able to do that. But that is not your way to teach us. You said we are redeemed from destruction, calamity, accidents, things along that line. You said the teacher to the New Testament church is the Holy Ghost, not accidents, not calamity, not trouble. Yeah, we might go through those things, but thank God you didn't send it. Yeah. And in those things, we know then we call upon the teacher who is the Holy Ghost, third person of the Trinity, to pull back the cover, bring enlightenment, illumination, revelation. And Father, we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for it. We value and count precious and honor the things you have revealed. Therefore, by honoring it, you said you would honor us to reveal more. So we thank you for it, give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, said amen, please. Amen. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like to be. If you have your Bibles this evening, if you'd like to open them up to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And the thing the Lord gave me a few months back is about proper response. Responding correctly. We'll go through, we'll take our time tonight, go as far as we can. But this is going to be tonight basically laying out where we're going to head the rest of the services.
Amen.
And for me. And so in that, one of the things that helped me understand when the Lord was explaining some things to me, I was doing some stuff on one of our rental properties, and I needed one of the window units to drain properly, and I had a drill bit, and it was dull, and I run through, and it wouldn't knock it out. And so I went to lumberyard and bought a brand new one, and then I did no more than hit the trigger, and it's brand new, and it goes through. Well, it hits the compressor. Of course, it sounds like a shotgun going off. And I'm sitting there, you know, thank God there wasn't no flame. It might have burnt my eyebrows off the Freon. But, you know, and I got a little upset. And the Lord just, he said, I need to talk to you. And he said, I really need you to learn how to properly respond to things.
Amen.
Amen.
And he's added so much and he's constantly adding. Yes. But he said to me, he said, you have to know how to respond to trouble,
yes,
pressure, test. But then he said, and he's been adding, he said, you need to know how to respond to the movings of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
The leadership of God.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, I remember when my wife and I were first together and we just came back into fellowship a few years after that in 1984. And we went to some Pentecostal meetings and there were certain things going on. And she said, honey, I was taught that some of this stuff is like speaking in tongues is of the devil. And she was never opposed to it, but she wasn't real certain about responding to it because she'd never been around it.
Yes. Yes.
I remember some of the very first messages I heard about biblical prosperity, and I thought, well, God, you know, it's a sin to be rich.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
and things along that line. And but you know, we pushed teaching people how to be saved and how to be healed.
Amen.
But we never preached the gospel of prosperity, so I never responded properly to that message.
Amen.
And so in that, then there were some times when Rodney Howard Brown, who used to drive a car when Brother Kenneth Copeland would go to Africa and preach in the 80s, early 80s and late 70s. And of course, you all maybe have heard of him, Rodney Howard Brown, who come here. As a missionary, God said, go to America and take this move. It's called laughter or joy.
Amen.
We went to his meetings in 1994. He was in Louisiana, Lake Charles. At that time, my wife and I pastored a church down on the Gulf Coast in Silsbee, Texas. And we went over there, and we're sitting in that meeting. This Perry Gasper's church at that time would hold about 2,700, and it's packed. And he's trying to teach, and people's falling out of their chairs in the aisle, and they're laughing and carrying on. And I'm thinking, y'all need to be quiet. He's trying to teach a lesson. But see, I didn't understand how to properly respond, because I thought, since I'd never seen this and been around it to this manifestation, I didn't know how to respond correctly.
Yes.
So I was critical.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then me and my wife, out of this crowd, he calls me and my wife out and he says, this couple here, and we're sitting in a minister section. He didn't know us. I'd never seen him. And he called us out and had some things for us. And then me and my wife, we laid up in the front on the floor for 45 minutes. And the Lord talked to me about some stuff.
Amen.
Well, thank God, you know, for God helping us.
Yes.
Even though we're hard-headed. Look at somebody say, I'm glad I ain't sitting by somebody hard-headed. Amen. Amen. So in that, we're gonna talk about how to properly respond. We need to properly respond to pressure, trouble, hardship. But how many know we need to know how to respond to God,
Amen.
His leadings, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And but it's got to always be scriptural.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So let's start off here tonight, and we'll go as far as we can. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. At the tail end of the verse, it says, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be what?
Destroyed.
I thought that was my phone. Thank God it's not. Okay, all right. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of what?
The anointing.
So we can say it like this. The anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens.
Yes,
would you agree with me?
Yes,
now, if you would, go with me to Luke 4:18, please. Luke 4:18. And Jesus here, he's actually reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm sure sometime this week we'll get into it. But because it talks about he was anointed with joy and had the garment of praise when he read Isaiah 61. But he's in the temple here. And he's what they called altar boys. And it was their job to, when the synagogue man, priest, told him, read this scripture. Well, he didn't read the one they gave him. That's why it says in Luke 4:17, he found the scripture. He found himself in the word. And then he started reading Isaiah 61:1, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is where?
Upon me,
because he hath what?
Anointed me.
What is the very first thing the anointing of God was on Jesus to do? And you know, that's very interesting. That's one of the anointings.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Just one.
Yes.
Not all of them.
Yes, sir.
What's the next one?
Yes.
There's another one.
To preach deliverance to the
captive. Another one.
And
set at liberty them that are bruised. So I mean, you know, there are different degrees of the anointing.
Yes, sir.
But the purpose of the anointing is to remove burdens and destroy yokes, but also to set the captive free,
yes,
heal people,
yes,
but also make people, this word, recovery of sight to the blind, if you just simply look it up in a Vines or a Strong's, it'll say physical and spiritual.
Yes. Amen.
So if someone is physically can't see, how many know there is an anointing by God to get them healed?
Yes.
But the spiritual sight, when it talks about Jesus says that their eyes were blind and they could not see, and he was teaching a Bible lesson, and he's in reference to it, that they couldn't see the spiritual aspect that he's teaching.
Amen.
Therefore, they would never properly respond to the message they were hearing.
Yes. Amen.
So everybody say physical and spiritual.
Physical and spiritual.
So in that, then, if you would, go to Acts 10:38, please. How God, Peter's at Cornelius' house, and he's preaching. Remember, he had been over, and he had been up on the housetop, and he was waiting for dinner, and he was praying, fell in trance. Angel said, three men seek thee, go with them, questioning nothing. So he goes to Cornelius' house, he's preaching, and in the middle of the message, this is what Peter says. How God, what?
Anointed
Jesus of Nazareth, with what?
The Holy Ghost.
And?
With power.
Now the Holy Ghost and with what?
Power.
I won't have time to get into that, but it would behoove you to dig around in that because there is things here you need to understand.
Yes. Right.
But then he says, who anointed Jesus of Nazareth?
God
did. With what?
The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost and?
Power.
So, in that, the anointings of God by the Holy Ghost is never limited to just healing.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. It will manifest healing.
Yes, sir. Yes.
But so will it manifest deliverance.
Yes.
The bruised healed.
Yes.
The captive set free.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So in this, understanding this, a lot of times people have never read Hebrews 1:9, and we'll get to it. Do you have the complete Jewish Bible translation? Okay. But it actually reads, if you want to just pull up Hebrews 1:9 in the King James, it talks about something here. I think I got it somewhere here, Hebrews 1:9. I do have it. Hebrews 1:9, King James. Thou hast what?
Love
righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath what?
Anointed
you. Above thy fellows. And the complete Jewish Bible says this. God has anointed you with the oil of joy in preference to your companions. Everybody say, anointing of joy. Now, I'm going to take time tonight because in these next few services, there's so much about joy. That song we were singing, Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
And if you look up strength, if you have any kind of Bible thing like Vines or Strong's, and you can look up these words, it means fortress.
Yes.
It means the ability to preserve and to keep,
yes,
to add to you. The joy of the Lord is your fortress.
Yes.
That's why the devil fights joy and the laughter. Laughter, running, singing, dancing is not joy. These are all manifestations of joy.
Amen.
Amen. And so in this, it's interesting that God anointed Jesus with all the other things by the Holy Ghost. But many times you don't hear a lot about the anointing of joy. I know what the anointing in the area of healing is supposed to do. Drive out sickness and disease.
Yes.
And if organs have been damaged, bring them and restore them back to life.
Yes. Amen.
What about somebody that's been held captive? It's many times it's in the soul. Are you following me?
Yes.
And there has to be some understanding that they can go free. But also it has to have the ability to set them free.
Yes.
What about the anointing of joy?
Amen. Amen.
Now, go if you would please. Go to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark 5, verse 25. And we'll go from 25 through 32 in the King James Version. Mark 5:25 says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and did what?
Touched his garment.
For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the what?
Press.
And said what?
Who
now I'm going to ask you a question. Think about it before you answer. Did Jesus know who touched him?
Yes.
No. He wouldn't ask. He couldn't have known. He wouldn't ask. How many touched him? Press. Everybody close enough. I want to ask you a question. Again, I want you to think about it before you answer it. How come the rest of them didn't get healed? It's actually a wrong response.
That's it. That's it. Amen.
But we know there's got to be several. I mean, for it to be called a press.
Yes.
And Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" He didn't know.
Amen.
He's standing there. He stopped because he realized the power of God flowed through him into somebody. And he stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Really, Jesus? There's been a bunch of people touching you. There's people all around us. There was a crowd." And what do you mean, who touched you? They had no clue what he's asking for. But Jesus did not know. Now, verse 31, his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thrown in thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Next one, he looked around to see her. He looked around about to see her that had done this thing.
Yes.
Now, in this, I want to ask you again. From what we read, how many touched him? A lot. How many got healed? Why? Jesus said it was her faith, but there was a proper response. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I'll tell you this. Brother Hagin, a senior who moved to heaven in 2003, was ministering. We were not in this service. He just talked about it. And he's ministering, and the Lord said, tell every crippled person to come forward. Well, there were, I think, if I remember correctly, let's say 8. There could have been 10, but let's just say 8. There were several. Everybody either had to be carried or brought up in wheelchairs.
Yes, sir.
They could not physically get to the front by themselves. Some they put in chairs, others were already in wheelchairs. I remember he talked about one that two men got on each side, picked him up and brought him up and then stood at their side to hold him. Brother Hagin's standing there and he got ready to minister because he just thought since the Lord told him to call him, he was supposed to lay hands. He came to the first one and he said just as he prepared to lay his hands upon him, the Spirit of God spoke up on the inside and said, "Do not lay your hands upon him. Tell this person to turn and run."
Yes.
Amen.
Now I want you to just think about it. If it was you,
yeah,
and your thinking is, "I know he saw, I can't walk, I just got carried up here."
Yeah. Yes.
But the first person did not hesitate, and he said when they turned, something happened. They couldn't run very fast, but this is a saying that this is where he got it from. The more you walk, the better your walk. And the more you go, the faster you'll go.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And he said that first one made a lap.
Yes, sir.
Second one he went to lay hands. Spirit of God said, "Tell him to run." He said, "Run." Same thing. Got all the way to number 8. All 7 have instantly been healed as they responded correctly.
Amen.
To what God said.
Yes, sir.
Got to number 8. And he went to pray for this lady, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord said, tell her to run. He said, sister, you saw the other seven. I hear it again. Run in Jesus' name. She said, I'm crippled. I can't run. And he said, out of all the group, she was the only one who left the meeting crippled.
Amen.
And many times people will say, why would God heal seven and not eight?
Amen.
Everybody say proper response. I want to ask you a question. How will the lost make heaven according to the scripture? How? How are you going to get saved? You got to accept Jesus, ask him into your heart personally, and accept him. You believe God rose him from the dead, third day, and he's alive. How many people are trying their best to get there either on mamas, yes, or grandmas, or somebody, or a church membership to heaven? Yeah. They will not respond correctly the way he said.
Amen.
When you're facing difficulty, and you're especially in these services that we're going into, and the Spirit of God says, run. There'll be people sitting there that has had a bad, bad day, and they'll be like, Brother Ricky, I ain't got nothing to run about or shout.
Amen. Amen.
But your answer is here.
Yes.
Amen.
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 You say, what will running accomplish? I have no idea.
Amen.
But if God said run, you better believe I'm going to run.
Amen.
If God said praise me, I'm going to praise it. And so in these things, because how many know our relationship is trust? We sing that song, I trust you, I trust you. Okay, run. I don't really trust you. Go with me, if you would, Luke 5:17, please. Everybody doing okay? Appreciate y'all coming. It makes it way better when there's people here to minister to. Luke 5:17. Came pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and what?
The power of the Lord was present.
Now, you know this story.
Yes,
Jesus was invited into this home. And it's interesting that the ones that wanted to scrutinize the message are the ones that actually filled the house up, and those that needed healing couldn't get in. Please listen to these things. There was a crippled man that lived a couple of houses down. He heard what was going on. He said, I can't go. Got four crazy friends. They got him on the couch, on the bed. They carried him over, and they would not let him into the house. So the guy said, let's go up on that. You know, the houses over in the Middle East, some of them got the flat roofs and stairs up beside. They went up on top of the house. Jesus in the front room teaching, and they go to tearing the roof off.
Amen.
While he's teaching. He don't get upset. He's still teaching. Finally, they get a hole big enough to let this guy down on a stretcher in front of him. And it's interesting that while he's teaching, I want you, please read me that last line. Now, if you've read all of this, how many of you have read this story?
Yes, sir.
How many in that house got healed that day?
One.
Why?
Proper response.
But how, the power of the Lord is what? How come all of them didn't get healed? God's infinite wisdom and no.
No.
Don't that you can't peddle that here.
No, sir.
No.
We got scriptures contrary to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
The power of the Lord was present to heal them.
Yes. Amen.
Years ago we were in Skeedy, Oklahoma, preaching an assembly of God. And that's where Brother T.L. Osborne and his family all went to church with my mom and dad. And we're in that building, and I got invited back after I got straightened up to preach, and I'm in there preaching. And our dear friend, Martin Griesel, Sr., he was breaking a green horse and that afternoon, and he was getting ready to get up on him before he could get up, swing his leg all the way over. He stood up on his hind legs, and Martin's pretty much in the saddle. He ain't got his foot in the stirrup. Well, the horse gets so far he can't get back. Martin realizes, so he shoves off. Keep that horse, when he falls, that horn hits you there, it'll kill you. You know, 15-pound horse falling on you. So he shoves off and kicks, and he lands and sliding, and the horse's head, he gets out from underneath him, but the horse's head, when he comes at full force, Martin's laying on the ground, hits him here, and it breaks him all up. And Martin has testified to people before in meetings that it, when he moved, all of that stuff crunched and moved.
Yes, sir.
And his wife says, we need to get you to the hospital. He said, no, take me home. And so that night, she's like, you know, I don't know where we're going. He said, get me ready. We got to go to church. He comes to church. I'm teaching. I don't know it. And I'm preaching. The Lord says something about somebody in this area's got a lot of trouble. He gets up and he starts to the front holding himself. And you can tell, I mean, this really, this is a lot of effort because this stuff's moving. It's in pieces.
Yes.
I hear myself say, turn and run.
Amen.
And then my brain kicks in and I'm like, Lord, he can't hardly walk.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure the Lord was like, oh, let me change my mind. He turns, he can't run, he's testified to it, and he can't run, and he said the first one was pretty slow, second one's a little better, third one he's completely running. And he was in the meeting in Warren here just a couple weeks ago, and that's been 26, 27, 28 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Never had to have all of this replaced.
Amen.
Totally well.
Amen.
What if he hadn't turned? See, it's, everybody say, it's a trust relationship.
It's a trust relationship.
God would never ask you to do something that'll hurt you.
That's right.
Amen.
It's trust. Now, go please, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. Isaiah 38, verse 1. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Isaiah the prophet, son of Amoz, came unto him, said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die, and what?
Not live.
Not live. Right?
Yes, sir.
For thou shalt die and not live. Now, hold this and just flip over to Psalm 78:41, please. Hold Isaiah 38. We'll come right back. Psalms 78:41. And it says here in Psalms 78 verse 41. Yea, they what?
Turn back.
And?
Limited.
You know, first time I ever heard Brother Hagin, someone teach this, I thought, well, you can't limit God. He's all powerful.
Amen.
They did.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Now you see why we started tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
This had to be discussed.
Yes.
It has to be looked at.
Yes, sir. Amen.
How did they limit God and His power? By their response.
Yes.
By their response.
Yes.
It's interesting here where it talks about this. The word limited, if you look it up, means confine or to restrict. God could show some power, but not much.
Yes.
God could show some help,
yes,
but not the deliverance that he desired.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? They limited him.
Yes.
Now, in this, go back now, if you would, Isaiah 38, and let's look at verse 2 through 5, please. Well, let's look at verse 1 again, Isaiah 38, 1. It says, "And Isaiah the prophet, son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and what?
Not live."
If you would, please write this somewhere. If you got some a Bible you can write in, write it this way. He was limited to speak by Hezekiah. God was limited to speak by Hezekiah. I have noticed over the years when the angels come in, like your pastor, when we were here not too long ago, the angel come in, he got a brand new knee. He didn't have to have surgery. Pastor Ricky. We've had that, a lady and I are, where's that at, Levi, where we went up? Where? Indianapolis. Greentown. Indiana. Greentown, Indiana. And I was preaching and an angel come in and a lady that was had to serve tables to take care of her children and had to carry them great big trays and stuff, and she'd messed up some things here and in her neck. And an angel come in and did work on her in front of everybody, and she looked like she's doing calisthenics. She bent over backwards. She's this far off the floor. You can't do that. There wasn't nothing under her. Did a bunch of stuff, brought her forward, did a bunch of stuff, and then she fell out, and then she got up, and she said, "I'm totally well."
Amen.
Just wild stuff. And she still healed.
Yes. Amen.
Well, in that, I need you to please understand, in Holy Ghost meetings, what I've saw and am learning is if God says something for all of us to do and there is a great response,
yes, sir,
He will add more.
Yes. Amen.
And then if there's a response to that, He will demonstrate and manifest even more power.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But when the folk stops, He has to stop.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Okay? So, the prophet was limited by Hezekiah, not by God. All he could say was, "Set your house in order."
Yes.
Now, verse 2, please. Then Hezekiah did what? Prayed unto the Lord, 3, and said, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a what?"
Perfect heart.
You know what he's pleading is, maybe I didn't do everything right, but my heart was right.
Yes, sir.
He's getting stuff right.
Yes, sir.
And Hezekiah wept sore. Then next verse. What happened?
The word of the Lord Isaiah.
Based on Hezekiah, now God can say some more.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
God can manifest himself in a greater way.
Yes, sir.
So, if you would, write this down, please. By Hezekiah, the Holy Ghost, by God, was able to add more.
Amen.
When this happened, y'all tell me, what you've read this, what happened? Next verse. Remember? The word of the Lord come to Isaiah and said, how many?
15 years.
How many know that's way better than dying right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Give you some time to finish up some stuff.
Yes, sir.
How did that happen?
The response.
Yeah. See, people think, well, God forced him to, and he just, no. It was all completely dependent upon what Hezekiah did.
Yes, sir.
God had to let him know he loved him. He didn't want him just dying, not knowing.
Right.
He said, set your house in order. Well, that got him thinking about, you know what, maybe I need to do some heart searching.
Yeah.
And so he went before God and he said, listen, Lord, you know, maybe I ain't done everything right, but I want you to know my heart was right towards you and different things. And before Isaiah got out of the courtyard, the Spirit of God said, go back and tell him, let's add 15 years. How many know that's a great big response?
Amen.
Everybody say proper response.
Proper response.
So in these meetings, any meetings, church, regular church meetings, things like this,
amen.
These things are very, very important. Amen?
Yes.
Now, let's go. Can y'all take just a little bit more?
Yes, sir.
All right. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5 in the King James. It says, Paul, you know, talking to the group there at Corinth, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but where? Everybody, if you would, say demonstrations.
Demonstration.
If you look up this word demonstrations, it means showing forth or display.
Amen.
Amen.
So there was a display of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Amen.
A display. So then he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but where?
In the power of God.
In the power of God. Now, I want to give you these things. I probably won't read these the rest of the week. In June of 1991, the Lord told Brother Hagin, this is Brother Hagin Sr., thank you. He said, quit having all faith crusades and start having Holy Ghost meetings. And then this is what he told him, teach both by precept and example. Not just teach, but have some services where there's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Yes.
And then maybe tomorrow night, I'll read you the three. I'll read them real quickly. Number one, this is the things the Lord personally gave Brother Hagin concerning the Holy Ghost meeting. He said, what are they? The Lord said, where the Word of God is preached and or taught. Where the Word of God is preached and or taught. Number two, where the Holy Ghost is in demonstration, where He is leading, guiding, where He is able to manifest Himself. Where the Holy Ghost is in demonstration, where He is leading, guiding, where He is able to manifest Himself. Number three, where the needs of the people are met and the joy of the Lord is manifested in the people and the people are full of joy. Where the needs of the people are met and the joy of the Lord is manifested in the people and the people are full of joy. Now I'm going to ask you a couple of three questions here. If I was ministering and the Lord said, you know, everybody with, you know, knee trouble, come down. And if the people, if there were some in the meeting, they come down and I got ready to pray for them and the Lord said, tell the first one to run. Tell the second one to, I've had the Lord tell me to tell people strange things before, but tell them to get on the floor and roll. How many of you would do it if you trusted us?
Amen.
Okay. Why would you do that? Yes, sir. Because the Lord said so. So by properly responding, you would get the manifestation of the anointing that you're desiring.
Yes.
Now, if joy is actually an anointing, it'll work the exact same way that the anointing and the healing will.
Amen.
So if I don't ever respond,
yes, sir.
I won't be bothered with strength.
Amen. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Brother Ricky, that's just not my makeup.
It's okay.
I understand. This might be wide open. Woo-hoo! Are you following?
Amen.
Now, go back to Hebrews 1:9, and then we're going to read Isaiah 61. We'll get you out of here in just a few minutes. Hebrews 1:9, King James. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity, therefore even God thy God hath what?
Anointed thee.
Anointed thee with what?
The oil of gladness.
Above thy fellows.
Yes.
And then I told you a while ago, the complete Jewish says, God has anointed you with the oil of joy in preference to your companions. Everybody say, the oil of joy.
Oil of joy.
All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 3, King James, then the Amplified. Please. Hallelujah. We're going slow and easy here because we probably won't go this slow no more. But we got it, right?
Yes.
We got it. We're understanding what this is about. Can we do the King James first, please? Thank you. Isaiah 61:1, King James. And it reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What does it say at the beginning of verse 1?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
So he's anointed him to do these things.
Yes.
Okay, verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And of course, you all know it. This is in reference to Leviticus, where it speaks of Jubilee.
Yes, sir.
Which used to only be every 50 years. But how many know when Jesus comes, he says every day is Jubilee.
Amen.
So you do not have to wait until you go to heaven to get healed or get free.
Amen.
You don't have to wait. It's now. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, what?
The oil of joy for mourning.
And?
The spirit.
That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Yes.
Okay, let's do 1 through 3 in the Amplified, please. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives.
Amen.
Look at somebody say, I'm getting ready to go free.
I'm getting ready to go free.
Now listen to me. People think spiritual captivity is lost. Spiritually, anyone who's never asked Jesus into their life, the Bible says, is spiritually dead.
Yes, sir.
Does not mean ceasing to exist.
No,
amen.
Spirit beings will live forever.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual death, look it up, means in John, separation from God.
Yes.
Everybody is not going to heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank God we ain't going to hell.
Yes.
Because of Jesus.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. Well, I said we wouldn't go too long. Okay. Okay. How many of you besides me used to think prosperity was wrong?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay. Okay, quite a few. Is it?
No, sir.
Why?
No.
What are the three things Jesus redeemed us from in Galatians 3:13? Spiritual death, sickness and disease. Who redeemed us from those three different categories?
Jesus.
When?
On the cross.
Yes. I'm redeemed from them.
Yes, sir.
To be redeemed from means I have been rescued from.
Yes, sir.
And I don't have to pay the debt that I owe.
Amen.
I do not have to go to hell.
Amen.
Right? None of us do. Thank God we've all made a good decision. We've accepted Jesus. Therefore, we are spiritually alive unto
Amen.
God.
Yes,
but yet in certain areas where we used to be bound, that can still come with you. Because just like, well, I had a good First Baptist preacher, Brother Copeland, and him and I were good friends. And he told me, he said, Ricky, I preach. Used to all the time. Speaking in tongues is of the devil. But he said, I've run around with you Pentecostal folks. And he said, I realize. He said, now I don't have the gift. But he said, I realize it ain't speaking in tongues ain't of the devil.
Amen.
But he said, I never sinned when I preached it because he said I didn't know it. But now I know it.
Amen.
And I can't preach that.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
But I mean, no, he was just as saved as the rest of anybody else that ever accepted
Amen.
Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. So in this, to proclaim liberty to the physical and what?
Spiritual captive.
Most people do not understand that joy is a spiritual force. Yes. Therefore, it will deal with spiritual things,
Amen.
But it will change natural circumstances.
Amen.
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 Amen. Captives and the opening of the prison of the eyes of those who are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of His favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3. Get ready. Take notes. Ready? To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland, a divan of beauty instead of ashes. What? The garment, what? What's Ephesians tell us? Put off the old man and put on the new man. Which we were created after Christ. Isn't it interesting? You guys... You're listening so well. Thank you. I'm going to quickly reference this. John 11. We'll hit it these other services. When Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, John 11, do you know how the Egyptians are the one that taught him? The Jews picked it up. Do you remember when Mary went to the king and said, "Where have you hid my Lord? I need him to prepare him for burial."
Yes, sir.
If you've studied it, if you've got any older books that describes this, they would wrap fingers.
Yes.
Remember, she had spices and different things to prepare.
Yes.
And then they would wrap them up as they put the spices on them. And they're completely wrapped.
Right. Yes.
When Mary was the first one to the tomb, when they come back and said, "He's risen. The tomb is open. The stone's been rolled." And she run into the tomb and she said the cloth was neatly folded and placed upon the bench. Remember? Now I'm going to ask you. When Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come forth."
Yes.
We'll read it, maybe not tonight. He was bound hand and foot. How did he get out of the tomb? The anointing. Power of God picked him up and brought him out of the gate. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "He's alive, but loose him and let him go because he's got on what?
Grave clothes."
Grave clothes.
That's it.
Previous life.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Amen.
This is in reference to the garment of praise.
Yes.
Brother Ricky, you just don't know what I've been going through. I know. And listen, I know there are I know things get tough. But you're going to have to throw away the garment of mourning.
Amen.
And put on the garment. Thank you, sister, for helping me preach it. The garment of praise. With the spirit of joy.
Amen.
Glory to God. Okay. Now, the word expressive there, the garment expressive of praise, means to express, to utter, to show emotions and feelings openly. Well, we've seen enough of your moping around. How about let's see some excitement? How about we see some shouting? How about we see some praising? Hallelujah!
Glory!
Glory to God! Okay. Hey, amen. Help yourself. Romans 14. This is what's going to happen this week. I can tell them that. I sure will. Psalms. Pull up Psalms 126, about verse 1 through however. It's not very many, about 6 verses. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalms 126, 1 through whatever it is, King James. You got it? Blessed is a man that walk not. No, 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then they said among the heathen, the Lord done great things for them. The Lord done great things for us. Whereof we're glad, not sad, glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Listen, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall what?
Joy.
Most people don't understand joy as a reaper.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Not the grim one.
Yeah.
It is a reaper. The devil's held your stuff long enough.
Amen.
By you moping around, mourning, thinking God, well, when in God's timing, he'll give it. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. But instead, let him manifest himself by his goodness. Give him something to work with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. All right, let's go to Romans 14, 17. As far as I know, this will be our last opening. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. When we was in Brother Rodney Howard Brown's meeting, he was up here, he was up there trying to teach, and people just laughing and rolling. And I'm like, I can't really hear what he's trying to say. And then besides, I thought, I don't know, if I'm used to all of us crying. Listen, if the power of God's strong, I'll cry. I can cry with the best of them. I can sling snot and carry on. I ain't a bit scared. Amen. But then when there's other manifestations other than crying.
Amen.
Amen. And he just kept going and kept going. And then me and my wife laid out, I think, 45 minutes. And then finally we come to. And I'm like, and then the Lord really kind of corrected me on a bunch of stuff. Told me some things about all this for myself. And then he gives an altar call. And me and my wife ain't sure. It's seated 2,700, but they had out chairs, so maybe 3,000 folk. 400 to 500 people that had never got born again, never except come tearing to the front and got saved. I said, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Forgive me of my criticalism.
Amen.
Because I thought, ain't nobody even know what he preached. Everybody's laughing.
Yeah.
Carrying on. But you know, people sometimes like, well, what are they laughing at? They could be having days of hell on earth last week. You don't know. And then they're in here and they've got some answers and they're celebrating some stuff. They're laughing, glory to God. And the joy of the Lord's back at the house doing some reaping, glory to God. And some strength is coming. Woo! Look at somebody, look over at him, says, I kind of think this message is for you by the way you're looking. But you know, okay, now. Okay, amen. We'll get primed up. We'll get there. Amen. All right. Romans 14:17 says this. For the kingdom of God is not humanitarian. It says not meat and drink. People says, well, if you're a good preacher, you ought to be feeding the poor. We help the poor. But I ain't planning on feeding them the rest of their 50 or 60 year life. They ought to not look to me as their source. God ought to be their source. We help the poor. We give them stuff. We do a lot. But listen to me. It'll never change for them until they hear a gospel message about Jesus Christ. So what is the kingdom then, Lord? It's righteousness and what else?
Peace
and tell two people. Joy in the kingdom is huge.
Joy in the kingdom is huge.
Joy. It's huge. 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 Happening, ain't it, brother? Amen. Tell somebody, I'm going to have a way better week this week. I'm planning on getting drunk all week.
I'm planning on getting drunk.
In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 17 in the ERV. It says in the ERV, we'll read verse 17 and 18. In God's kingdom, what we eat and drink is not important. Look over at somebody and say, duh. Amen. Okay, now, here's what is important. Da-da! Ready? A right way of life. What else?
Peace
and
joy.
All
from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Life.
Yes.
Peace.
Yes.
And joy. Verse 18. Whoever serves Christ by living this way is what?
Pleasing God.
And they will be accepted by others. I'm after pleasing God. You can't please God without faith. But I can't please him without this joy and right way of living and staying in peace. People keep getting upset and said, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You need to stop. You ain't got much left. We're going to stay peaceful. I said we're going to stay peaceful. Let's help me with it. We're going to stay peaceful. And we're going to stay full of the joy of the Lord. And we're going to please God by serving him this way. When crazy stuff comes, we're going to quit getting mad. Amen. I said amen. We're going to respond properly. We're going to laugh. We're going to shout. We're going to dance. Now, you can dance at Walmart if you want to, but you might get escorted out. But you can dance in here with this crowd. Come to these services. Get charged up. Get tanked up. And then your life will be better. And learn it, and it'll finally become a habit. Amen. Glory to God. So we'll finish up. Verse 17, 18. One more time. ERV. In God's kingdom, what we eat and drink is not important. Here is what is important. What?
The right way of life.
Righteousness. What else?
Peace.
What else?
Joy.
All from the Holy Spirit. Yay. Verse 18. Whoever serves Christ by living this way is what?
Pleasing God.
Thank you, Lord. This weekend, we're going to cover stuff. We're going to talk about the garment of praise. We're going to talk about the oil of joy. We're going to talk about strength. We're going to talk about how to respond properly. Psalms 2 says the ones against God and against His anointed come against Him and says, we are going to get them. This is paraphrasing.
Yes.
And it says, he that setteth in the heavens laughs.
Amen.
People say, well, that's God. Well, Ephesians 2, according to Paul, I'm seated in heavenly places. So my place of authority in Christ is at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
I still live on earth.
Yes.
But my seated position.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
In heaven.
Oh, I got one more. Can we go one more? Go to Luke 4, please.
Luke 4.
Glory to God. Look at verse 17. Luke 4:17. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. It says Isaiah, that's Isaiah. Ready? And when he'd opened the book, it says scroll some. What did he do? And then he started in, we read 18, Spirit of the Lord's on me.
Yes.
And then he said to preach the acceptable year, verse 19. Now verse 20.
Yes.
He closed the book. He gave it again to the minister, the one that was over the service.
Yes.
Amen.
Now listen, if you know Jewish history,
yes,
on the platform, they have a chair.
Yes, sir.
And because they're still looking for the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
And it is called the Messiah's chair. He read all of that. He rolled up the scroll. He gave it again to the minister. And he went and sat down. And it ticked off the minister so bad, they took him out behind the church and tried to throw him off the brow of the hill, but he walked right through them. What he understood was his seated position.
Yes.
You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus now.
Yes.
We are going to go to heaven, but our place of position, this is learning how to live the right way.
Yes,
I can sit in my seated position and laugh at the crazy stuff that the devil is trying to distract me with, pull me off, get me upset. When the Lord told me to teach this till January, and then he'd talk to me about more, he said, with all of the craziness that is going on in the U.S. for the last 2 or 3 years, the church has become distracted, and they see so much negative stuff that the average discussion is what craziness is going on.
Yeah.
Instead of who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll not be hoodwinked.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The crazies are going to do what crazies do.
Yes, sir.
But we are the church
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job, number one, tell the lost.
Yes.
Tell the lost.
Yes.
Not to become a Republican or Democrat. How to get saved.
Amen.
Who to come to. His name is Jesus. And then the rest of us live in such a way that they want to know what we're doing in these crazy times to have joy.
Amen.
to have victory.
Amen.
Instead of just being as mad and upset and wound up just as much as they are.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, I'm going to drink all week.
I'm going to drink all week.
Will you be my drinking buddy this week? When I was, before I saved, I had several. Now I'm born again. I still got drinking buddies.
Amen.
People that ain't scared. When the Holy Ghost gets moved, they'll waller with me. They'll run with me. They'll dance with me. They'll shout with me.
Amen.
So, I wanted tonight, I believe by the Lord, to explain and show you these benefits of the joy of the Lord. It is basically a proper response to the anointing to get a manifestation of Him.
Yes.
And the more we respond, the more He will manifest.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor Ricky, I'll give it back to you.
Amen.
Or Pastor
Hallelujah.
Chelsea.
Glory to God. Pastor Ricky and I were already drinking tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know that we took up offering for our regular tithe and offering.